morning, so let's begin with the Word of God and then go in some hymns. So let's go into, first of all, the Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity and the privilege and the freedom to study the Word of God, to meet with others who are like-minded. Pray that this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin with a song.
Hymn 360, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Jesus, take my stand.
Of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are in his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them.
Would you join us again, please, in number 351, 351, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, Fanny Crosby.
Jesus,
has found in free to all appealing sea, rolling memories mountain in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever.
Got a busy morning this morning, and we'll end it with a wonderful eating. And are they getting the chili ready?
Ready.
All right, that's the important thing. Good. All right, and it's a very important day. Oh, it's 90 years old. Happy birthday. My goodness. That's wonderful. Wow. Mark, are we going to make it that long?
You know, I'm leading and hoping to follow you.
Well, you won't make it that far then, because I don't plan on making it that long. Good grief. Okay, let's talk about prayer. And do we have any prayer requests this morning? Any prayer requests? Yes.
I've got a praise report for Nancy Cooper. We finally found her in place for the long
haul. Oh, super, super. Good, good. All right, good. Yes, sir.
My mom is planning on having knee replacement surgery.
Ooh.
On March the 2nd.
Wow.
So it could just be a prayer for it. A lot of lead up. I mean, when you're 86 years old, have your knee replaced is a traumatic event. It is if you're 50 years old. It'd be a prayer for my mom and all the prep and everything. And then what's going to happen after?
Absolutely.
Biggest challenge.
That's going to be the big challenge, yeah. Wow, we'll be in prayer. Keep us posted. Okay. Anything else? I'd be in prayer for Judas daughter, and she is improving each few days. Gets a little better, so it's very good. But this morning, her mother, my wife, is not doing well at all. So please be in prayer for Judith at this time. Let's see. Any other requests? Okay. Next thing that's important is the offertory. People, we have many things we need to start doing. We need to get the young people. What's the agenda there?
For today?
No. This
upcoming events?
Yeah.
We have SLAM, which is our Servant Leadership High School retreat in early April.
Early April.
So first, second, third. We've got camp June 10th. Period. Is that time frame? What else do we have? Oh, we've got the VBSs, the Vacation Bible Schools that we do. We're going to do them in planning on Princeton and South Fork Mobile Home.
Y'all going to do that again? Very good.
We did them over Christmas, new place, and it was wonderful, and Lori has continued to stay in contact with those two locations, and we're trying to put some youth ministry, youth group Bible studies on a more frequent basis, but we will be going back for the VBS. You want to add anything there? At Easter?
Nope, just prayer. There's two managers. There's Claudia at Princeton and Lindsay at South Fork. You guys would pray for those two women specifically, because those are our points of contact to those kids, and I know there's a reason God's brought us into their lives as well, to be praying for those ladies and those families. So y'all pray for them, and just for the kids to come. We know there's a need, and for us to be able to get the word out about camps in the summer and all those kind of things.
Okay. If we had 1,000 people, couldn't do this. But my goodness, just agree. We've got three guests here.
Yes, we have Mike and Jamie Holmeyer and their daughter Jordan. And Jordan's been part of our Liberty Youth Ministry for a long time, coming youth group, and helped cook chili yesterday with some of our other kids.
All right.
Thank you.
You don't have to work every Sunday to come to church, though. However, cooking is all right. All right. So let's take the offertory with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do consider it a great privilege to be able to tell others of Jesus Christ, to tell others of the Word of God, to fulfill, Heavenly Father, a reason and a purpose for being here. We pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You will use these offerings to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Oh, let's see. Let's turn to 138. 138. Break thou the bread of life.
Let me ask, can we do a Christmas song?
Break thou the bread of life.
Okay, does anyone not have their handout of today's message? All right. From old to new, let's begin with the word of prayer, opening up the word of God in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin a new one today. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. How grateful we are for Ephesians. This book was written, Heavenly Father, to believers, and therefore it is important to us. Pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the truth that is found before us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Just going to start with three introductory points and then we'll move into it. One, in the first part of this chapter, Paul explains how and why we are so blessed being related to Jesus Christ all the way through. Secondly, Paul will explain to us God's grace and what motivated God. This is interesting. What motivated God to expend his grace to us? And then thirdly, then we will learn what God wants from us. That what we rescue us from sin and death to do. Chapter 2 has several different ways of working and what to do. One, verses 1 through 4, a survey by presentation of the world under Satan and sin. And then verses 5 through 9, grace under God, free from the word and sin under Jesus Christ. And finally, verses 10 through 22, purpose under the church, our purpose for being here under the church. All right, outline. Verses 1 through 4. Verse 1, grace found us spiritually dead. Verse 2, found us under the control of Satan. Spiritually dead, under the control of Satan. And verse 3, the control of our sin nature. So we have spiritually dead, under control of Satan, control of our sin nature. That's the introduction to this very great chapter. And then verse 4, God moves us to change everything over. Okay, the first part of this chapter is so important to realize just how great it is to be a member of the body of Christ. What type of member we were in before, what we're with in Him. To be a member of the universal church, to realize how vitally important it is, and how great it is, and how phenomenal, and how wonderful it is to be a member of the biblical church. I said Bible church, and I thought, you know what, somebody may think I'm naming or giving us a ride, so I'll make it the biblical church. If the Bible church isn't good for you, the biblical church. We ought to be happy to be a member of the church. Now, Ephesians 2:1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And you were dead. This refers to every person who has changed over the attitude about Jesus Christ. That's why it's were dead. So it's now, the whole book really is not for unbelievers. There's not hardly anything in this chapter, in this book, that is directed toward the unbeliever. It is directly a book to for the believers. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You were in death in your trespasses and sins. The wages of sin is death. This is spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. All are involved here. This explains why Jesus Christ was conceived without a human father. No human father. And was born of a virgin. He was born outside of the sin of Adam. This made him without the inherent of sin and of Adam. He believed, he lived his life without committing any sins, which qualifies him to die for everyone's sins. He had to live sinless, for if he were the guilty of just one sin, he would lose the right to the freedom to die for people. A slave cannot buy another slave. So if he had committed even one sin, he would have been a slave. A slave cannot free another slave. But what we are concerned with here is spiritual death. Now, I'm going to go through some things with you. Dallas Seminary, and with the people in life, not many people know much about what we're going to be studying. Just not many churches tell it. Not many preachers know it. So we need to have an understanding of it. One, the word death is very important. But what is important to us is the adjective describing this kind of death. There are seven types of death in the Bible. Seven types of death. We'll quickly look at all seven of them. This is the most important, the most essential. The word death occurs in several passages referring to spiritual death. Our study in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one sin, one man's sin, that's Adam, entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all mankind because all sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for As in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. So that gives us the introduction. Now point two, the word. Now we're going to get to work. The word death. Physical death is the Greek word nekros, N-E-K-R-O-S. But there is a very important second word for death in the Greek. It is the word thanatos, T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S. Now, first from the English lexicon of the New Testament and other early Christian literature by Art and Gingrich, every basic student at Dallas Seminary has to start off with this one, with it, but it started with Art and Gingrich, started off defining the Greek word thanatos on page 359 and on page 352 under, now listen, figurative. Please bear that in mind. Figurative. Figurative. Used of the word there in our study. Figuratively, it is used as spiritual death to which everyone is subject. Second from the Greek lexicon, the complete biblical library, six volumes, volume 3, page 69, thanatos in classic Greek includes the act of dying. It also refers to non-physical death, perhaps spiritual or mental. Then page 70, the moment Adam defied the commandment of God, he sinned, and death was introduced. Now think about this. God has created the world. There's all the animals and all. Then Adam and Eve going away. We don't know how long, but for a while. And all of a sudden, they've never said anything of death. All of a sudden, they've come straight to face with death. Yes?
That was true not only for humans, but that was true for everything in the garden.
Yes.
No
yes.
animals. There was no dying plants. There was no death.
Yes. None. None dead.
Okay, wait a second. Hey, Herman, on his time frame, so God's there, there's the revolt and the separation of Satan, and Satan comes to the earth. And this is his dominion. And where does God turn around and say to Satan, I'll show you, I'll make human beings? How does that time frame go?
Immediately. I'll show you. Right? While they're standing there in the garden. Okay?
Okay.
This does not mean that he died physically. That he died, it was not physically, although this did come about later. Instead, he was separated from God. That's what spiritual death really is, separation from God. Though he did not cease to exist. This spiritual death, Adam has passed on to all members of the human race. This condition of death in the curse passed on to all mankind. This condition of death is the cause of humanity, is the curse on humanity, Ephesians 2:5 coming up. And by nature, all men are spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:3. As was true with the first man, all are separated from God. They still on earth and all that, but separated from God by a high and insurmountable wall, a gulf. This separation is the essence of death. Then, in a few paragraphs down, the lexicon will write, man, and I'll give the quote here, man is an organic unity of body, soul, and spirit. This is where, when you're in seminary, this is where you spend your time studying and learning. The separation, which brings spiritual death, thus has a profound impact on the entire being, all three, body, soul, and spirit. Therefore, physical death is an inevitable consequence of the fall. Those who are spiritually dead can be awakened to spiritual life. Ephesians 2:1. And the physical dead to a bodily resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. However, those who die without Christ, think about this when you're thinking about witnessing. People who die without Christ are eternally dead and have no hope for future resurrection in life. Their destiny is final and unchangeable. The Bible refers to a second death. Revelation 20:19, we'll come to it later. Second death, from which no one will surrender or be surrendered. Next, these are just different places I'm going so that you can learn what spiritual death is. The next one is the New International Directory of the New Testament Theology, Volume 1, edited by Colin Brown. Under this discussion of Thanatos, he talks about spiritual death. Now that's one of the interesting things. Not many people talk about spiritual death, but he went straight to it. Spiritual death, where he explicitly says spiritual death and physical death, inexplicably bound up together. So pulls them together and talks about having it. Relating the death, Jesus Christ died on the cross, and the imputation of all sins of the world on him while on the cross results in his own spiritual death. The spiritual death of Jesus Christ, and then the physical death of Jesus Christ on the cross took the 3 hours. First 3 hours, not there. Second 3 hours, starting at noon, went into the death of Jesus Christ for bearing the sins for the world. Now, Herman Creamer, in his Biblical Theological Lexicon of the New Testament, Greek word, does not mention spiritual death. A lot of people don't. Does not mention spiritual death under this discussion of Thanatos. He does give an excellent, brief description of spiritual death, especially in saying, quote, the essence of death occasionally does not consist in the extension of the man, but rather to the fact of its depriving him of what he might have had in and through his life, if he had had it. And thus in forming a distinct antithesis to life. So, far as life is to the man a possession and a blessing. Okay, in summary, when Adam sinned, he died immediately. And then later he will die physically. both spiritual and physical death are result of sin. The wages of sin is death. So, on the cross, Jesus Christ first died spiritually. This is Jesus Christ. He died spiritually on the cross, as did the first Adam. And then he, Jesus Christ, died physically.
So in this discussion, when you draw this distinction, are you saying that they are equal in front of God? That the spiritual death and his physical death are of equal worth in front of God to move us into the ability to have Jesus Christ?
Exactly. Yes. He had them both done. Okay, let's go to point three. Spiritual death is a judgment. Spiritual death is a judgment. It is a judgment from God on every member of the human race at the point of birth. We all born physically alive, but spiritually dead. Now, I like to just have fun here. If you go to somebody that's just had their baby, don't talk about how it's really dead and sinful and all of that. Just let it go. And if you know, that's good. But just don't talk about it right now. All right. We were all born physically dead and physically alive and spiritually dead. Spiritual death is being born into the devil's kingdom. We were born into the devil's kingdom. Spiritual death is being born into the devil's kingdom. People, the devil is real. But he works all the time to destroy our relationship with Jesus Christ. The devil, since the fall of Adam, go all the way back to the fall of Adam, has been the ruler of planet Earth. He's been the ruler of planet Earth. Since we were born, we immediately became citizens of his dark kingdom. So, all of us get two kingdoms at birth. We were born citizens of some nation in America, if you're here, but wherever. And this is one of the citizens. And we were born citizens of devil's world. So you have two citizens. It is spiritual death that qualifies us for the kingdom of Satan. When Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil," he was referring to their earthly citizenship. He was recognizing the principle of spiritual death and applying it to the religious group of the people. We are all born in spiritual death. Now, I mentioned this one first, spiritual death first, out of the seven. This is the one most important in Romans 1 through 4, all about. We are all born spiritually dead. The only way of getting out of this citizenship under Satan is by a new birth. A new birth. A spiritual birth breaks spiritual death. I don't know why I didn't put it here, but right here would be the good place to put Jesus Christ's words in John 3, about you have to be born again, or born from above. See? So that's what we're dealing with. Now, under point four, 5 points on spiritual death and spiritual life. We're going to be looking at spiritual death and spiritual life. First, there is a great failure to realize total depravity and the magnitude of spiritual death. Few people do. Secondly, if you realize that spiritual death means just that, you're dead, then you begin to realize that there is absolutely nothing a dead person can do for anything from God to change that. Three, all production, all works, morality and so on, all are classified as dead works because they come from a dead person. Four, therefore, there is no system of law from man or God that can make a man alive outside of faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That in the gospel is not a matter of being good or bad, moral, immoral, sinful, sinless. The issue is dead or alive. Spiritually dead, spiritually alive, by being born again in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. And five, the only hope of life is to believe in Jesus Christ. It's the only hope. And be born again. And become spiritually alive. Let me read that again. The only hope of life is to believe in Jesus Christ and be born again and become spiritually alive. Which means we are spiritually alive forever. By the way, spiritual death is not related to sin. Except for the fact that since you were born spiritually dead, died, you will sin. So that's the only relationship of our sins and being sinful. And therefore Martha said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies physically. Now, point five. The second type of death is physical death. Most people are familiar with that. Physical death is fairly easy to recognize in the scriptures and is well recognized by everyone through life, though not everyone understands it. Jesus Christ gave one of the most interesting points on physical death to a believer in Matthew 8:22. But Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their dead. Now, this is what Jesus Christ thought of a funeral for the unbeliever. Jesus asked a believer to follow him. Ask the believer to follow him. To which the believer replied, Lord, I have to go to a funeral. I can't go with you right now. To which Jesus replied, you come with me now and let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. You got that? Let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. In other words, the funeral of the unbeliever means nothing to the unbeliever. The only thing that can be accomplished at the funeral life of an unbeliever is to challenge those who are alive to believe in Jesus Christ. It's the only reason I do a funeral for someone that's an unbeliever. I don't talk too much about the fact that they're unbelievers, but it's making the issue about Jesus Christ. However, the death of the believer is special. It's special. your mother, your dad, your friends. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with my boldness Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by death, by life, or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I think that it's about as strong as I can make it for believers, is Christ shall ever now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether I am alive or by my death. That's what we ought to do with our life. For me to live is Christ. Die is gain. Also, John 11:25, Romans 8:38, Job 19:25, 26, Psalms 23:4, John 19:30. Physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. The soul departs to ever have to either heaven or to the, in the case of the unbeliever, to Hades. Point six. The third type of death. The third type of death occurs until eternity begins. The third type of death is called the second death. It is the second death after spiritual death for the unbeliever, spiritual death being the first. It refers to the final judgment of the unbeliever, in which the unbeliever is passed into the lake of fire forever. It is eternal separation from God. So, that wall that which breaks up spiritual death for us is regeneration. We are born again. That means we are from under spiritual death immediately. It becomes, it alone means no second death for the believer. So, we are, although with the judgment type of death, only the unbeliever is not through with judgment. This is why Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, and inasmuch as it is to appointed for men to die once, but after that, the judgment. That's for the unbeliever. Now, point seven, the fourth type of death. The fourth type of death is in Christ. Though through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the church age believer is unified with Christ in his death. This death is in Romans 6, 1-13, which mainly it says, Romans 6, 3-4, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was risen from the dead through the glory of the Father, through we too walk in the newness of life. Colossians 3:13, having been buried. This is every believer in Jesus Christ, the flesh you, the carnal you, the old you, died with Jesus Christ, buried with him in baptism of the Holy Spirit, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, point eight. Temporal death is the fifth type of death. Temporal death is the fifth type of death. Only believers can experience this death. This experience, separation from fellowship with the God throughout your life here on earth. With the cause of this death, what causes this death? I'll tell you what causes this death is your volition to not follow Him. When you stop walking by faith, sin results, you die. James chapter 1, verse 15, then what lust has conceived, it gives death, a birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. It's talking about believers. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for the mind set on the flesh is death. So every believer, when we commit sins, dead. But the sin, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And so, many other passages are there, given Romans chapter 6, 2, Romans 5, 6, 5, 13, Romans 8, 13, and following. Okay. Point 9. Faith death. Faith death. Or death of faith is the type of sixth type of death. James chapter 2, verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. We have studied, is your faith the faith God is looking for? We've studied that many times. Remember that the object of faith is the merit of faith. The object of faith is the merit of faith, the life of faith. And if your faith is in your works or in anything other than the Holy Spirit who gives life, then your faith is dead. The James 2:26. Excuse me just a moment. James 2:26. Passage through a sound should be accompanied by Paul's words in Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, or faith working through love. It is not only what we do in life that is important, but what is important is how we do it. If we are not doing it in the spiritual love, then people, it's nothing. Doesn't mean anything. And how do we have spiritual love? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Put your faith in what you're doing, or your faith is dead. Put your faith in the law, in good works, in morality, in knowledge, studying the Word, or your service, or your charismatic experience. Tried all of those, your faith is dead. It is the Holy Spirit that gives life. And then finally, 10, sexual death. When I was at Brackham and was going to be tested into being a pastor, that was one of the questions that asked one of the people, I think it was Pastor Bob, but anyway, said, what are the seven deaths And it came to my turn, and I said, all I want to talk about is the one death that I fear the most, sexual death. And that did it. That ruined him and everybody that was there. But sexual death is one in Romans 4:17 through 21, Hebrews 11:11 through 12, and both Abraham and Sarah were said to be sexually dead as old age hit. Now, we go on in chapter 2 with the sins and trespasses. We'll start that next Sunday. So we'll end that right now and have our go through to now to have our communion. Now, getting ready for our communion, we're going to sing. And I ask especially for this one, for Jerry, as can't come in all the time, so I'll want to sing his favorite hymn.
When I Survey the Wondrous Cross is found on page 111, song number 111, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Let's be seated, and I think most everyone here is visitors, but we pass the elements, the cup, the bread first, and everyone hold the bread till everybody's been served, and then we take them together, communion here, as we're having communion with him. So let's prepare ourselves to give the communion for our study, for our communion. Father, how grateful we are for the communion, that which you've left us to begin each month in our studies, to center on Jesus Christ, our Savior, our friend. Pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. It's our custom that everyone hold the cup till everyone, or the bread till everyone has been served. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, "For I received," and he did, "received from the Lord." He went and saw the Lord, and the Lord came down to him, "which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord, night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks for the cross, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this, remember for me.'" Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the death of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross for us. We're so grateful for Jesus Christ. We think he's our Savior, and we're also happy to say he is our friend. Praise these things in Christ's name. Amen. It is also our custom to hold the cup until all have been served. Please stand. Continue reading. "In the same way he took the cup also." So after supper, the Passover is over. Now we begin the church age. "Saying, 'This is my body.'" This cup is the new covenant in my body. "This is for you. Remember this of me. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much coming together this morning, studying the Word of God, fellowshipping with others. And Father, we pray now, thank you for the food we're got to eat of. Thank you for our fun together, fellowship, Christian fellowship. Pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, if everyone be seated first, please. Now, fun starts. So, just a moment. Okay. We're going to do this a certain way. So, here we go.
Okay, first of all, we're having the chili cook-off, and there are 4 chilies. So, we have a prize for the chili that gets awarded the best chili. And we have ballots for each one per person, to vote on your chili. So vote for one chili, one vote per person.
These are the only official ballots. They are watermarked.
Can't mail them in. We're taking no mail-in ballots.
Can I cut it into four parts?
Yeah. We have also back here a box for donations if you want to give a cash donation
so
for
we
Liberty
can't
Youth.
Buy
you,
you can buy them from me, but they don't count.
Where do you want us to put the ballots when we're finished, Mom?
The ballots can go in there with the donations
okay.
as well.
Perfect.
We'll get them out.
Perfect.
And this, in case you don't have cash with you and you'd like to use your credit card and your. You can do this little. I know nothing about this. My daughter gave
phone.
This to me.
If your phone doesn't flip open, you can use it.
Take a picture of that, and the rest will work out on its own.
And if y'all can give us just a few more minutes to get the rest of the food.
Put the QR code in front of the camera. So they can make online donations.
Yeah. 5 to 7 minutes.
Here, you can show them a ballot. And, oh, I'm sorry they didn't come to vote.
No ballot, no electronics.
And then, in the eating of your chili, have a nice cake. To Lila for her wonderful birthday. So we have that for on the table for food and for a flower for her. Okay, let's.
We have to set
sing
up.
All right, let's sing.
Yeah, okay.
Let's sing.
Here we go.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lila. Happy birthday to you.
Yay! Let's have a good morning.